There's an old minhag. It's one that developed throughout the years of Golus. That on Motzoi Shabbos, people learn through Parshas Vayishlach. Most of the parsha, actually. This is a minhag of the Golus, because this is the Golus parsha. It's the parsha of how Jews learned to survive as citizens of hostile countries. And every country on earth pretty much was one of those. We learned from Yaakov Avinu how to deal with Esav. And he begins, Kol Amar Avdecho Yaakov. He sends a message to him. So has your servant Yaakov said. And Chazal are very critical of Yaakov Avinu. They refer to him as a machzik biozne kelev over, pulling on the ears of a stray dog. Esav ledarko holeh. Esav's taking a stroll. Why do you stop him? Why are you getting involved with him? Kelev over. He's taking a stroll. He's coming with Arba Meos Ish, with an army of 400, fighting the family of Yaakov. The wives, the children, the sheep, the goats. Chazal are critical. And yet this has been the parsha that has been our guiding light throughout the Golus. If Yaakov Avinu was wrong, then why should we be studying it? If Yaakov Avinu was really wrong, then why do we say, Ko Amar Avdecha, whoever we are? Why don't we just stand up? Why don't we just ignore? Of Mordechai it says, Lo Kom Velo Zoh. He was unmoved by Haman, unaffected. Not only didn't he stand, not only didn't he bow, Lo Zoh, he didn't move, he was unaffected. He didn't notice. But that has not been our approach. We've been Ko Amar Avdecha Yaakoving over all the years of the Golus. And we've been sending them presents and playing the game and bribing and flattering, all to survive, like Yaakov did, even though Chazal said no. Who's right? Yaakov Avinu or Chazal? So obviously there's a place for each one, and the question is understanding that. One of my favorite Rashis, which the new editions say is not really part of Rashi. What can you do? What can you do? But it's been there all the years of the Golus. Yaakov Avinu received a prophecy. Vayom alo alakim, ani kel shakai, prey urvei, goy ukal goyim yemi meko, umlochim mechalotzecho yitzeyu. This is before the birth, this is still before the birth of Binyamin. And Hashem tells him, goy ukal goyim yemi meko. A nation, a gathering of nations, they'll come out of you. Mm-hmm. This Rashi's got it. What do you know? So Rashi brings down a pshat. Why, when Hashem is telling him that he's going to have more children, why does Hashem use the word goy? Says Rashi, goy ukahal goyim. Shegoyim asidim bonov lehei osos. Your children will eventually be like goyim. One pshat, kiminyan hagoyim shein ayin umis. You'll have lots of them, like there are nations. Dover acher, sha'asidim bonov lahakriv b'shas iser bomos kegoyim b'imei Eliyahu. What was Eliyahu Hanavi's, what was his most famous stand? On Har HaKarmel, he goes and challenges the prophets of the Baal, and he says, you know, let's build altars. You take your animal, I'll take mine, and let's pray and see where the fire comes down. And they tried, and they even had someone go underground to prepare a fire, and he didn't survive. And Eliyahu Hanavi goes and pours water on the altar there, and then a fire comes down from heaven. And they all said, Hashem Hu Elokim. Says Rashi, that was a terribly non-Jewish thing to do. Why is that? Because at that point, it was already forbidden to go and build your own private altar. It was at a time that the Bama was Asa. There were times that it's permissible and times that it was forbidden. At that point, it was forbidden. Says Rashi, Yaakov was given a prophecy. You're going to have more children. And not just children. Your children are going to be like goyim. They're going to do what Eliyahu Hanavi did. Eliyahu Hanavi, one of your descendants, is going to be like a goy. He's going to go and build his own altar. Puzzling. First of all, I mean, to call that a non-Jewish act, all right, there are rules, there are halachas. If a Navi comes along and says, do something different than the halacha, so it depends. If he says Hashem changed his mind, off with his head. If he says, Hashem told me, hora asha, this is a one-time thing, unless he's telling us to worship idolatry, the halacha is you listen to it. Eliyahu Hanavi comes along and said, Hashem said to do this, it's a one-time act, hora asha, so we listen to it. That's a non-Jewish act. Second, if it's so non-Jewish, so Hashem is telling Yaakov Avinu, you know what? Your kids are going to do non-Jewish things. Ain't that great? This is his blessing, his prophecy, his encouragement to Yaakov Avinu. Previously in the Parsha, we read of the encounter between Yaakov and this angel. This angel actually being the spiritual side of Esav, his spiritual ambassador up there in heaven. And Yaakov fights with him, wouldn't let go, asks for a blessing. That was his condition for letting him go. Yes, Yaakov won. Was injured in the process, but Yaakov won. What does it mean Yaakov won? He conquered the angel. Apparently, there's something about what Yaakov Avinu is and what Esav was that are so different, where Yaakov Avinu did not possess what Esav had, and for some reason Yaakov fought and demanded that Esav hand that over. What am I referring to? Let's understand this issue of hora asha. A prophet comes along and says, I got a prophecy, and Hashem says, under the circumstances, today, we are to do something different than under all other circumstances. That's not a Jewish thing. not a Jewish thing. It's halacha, but it's not a Jewish thing. The Jew by nature, Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov the Ishtam Yosef Oholim. Ishtam does not mean the simpleton. He's not the tum of the Haggadah. He's not the simpleton. Tum means straightforward. Tum means strong and unaffected. Doesn't blow with the wind. Tum means you're straight. Don't make a difference what's going on around you. You know what's right. Your values don't change with the times. What's right is right. Ish tum yoshev oholim. Esav. What is Esav? Yodei tzayid, ish sadeh. He finds he's got a talent. As a result of it, he uses it. It's to his advantage. The whole essence of Esav is one of being practical. The essence of Esav is you manipulate your way around things. You find how to get things done. If necessary, you'll have to kill, you'll have to steal. Values, truths, all that is irrelevant. What counts is what's practical. How do I get it? To Yaakov, when Rivka comes and tells him that he's got to go steal the bracha, he refuses. Reluctantly, he's got to surrender. That so much goes against him. But it has to be done. But that's not him. The essence of the Jew, and this is the Yaakov Avinu of all of us. Yaakov, MS, truth, not budging. Being unaffected by anything. Esav, the opposite. In that encounter, Yaakov stole something from Esav. He stole the ability to, at times, have a hurrah shah. At times, there's going to be a difference. He incorporated Esav's Nida too. He stole that from Esav. He won. He conquered. Esav's angel gave in. He surrendered. Yaakov now incorporated into the Jewish personality something the Jew could not do before. And that's Hurrah Shah. The essence of a Jew is not one who, he adapts his values to the tide of current thought. The Jew, the essence of the Jew, the Yaakov of the Jew, the essence of the Jew is we know what's right and we know what's wrong, and it don't make a difference what anyone thinks, and it doesn't make a difference what's practical. What's right is right. If you got to sit in a restaurant, a fancy restaurant for an important business meeting with a can of tuna, it don't make a difference. You understand that all the money on earth that you can possibly earn is not worth eating one piece of treif. You don't budge. That's a Jew. But what are they going to say and what are they going to think? So what? Truth. MS. What do we live for? Recognition. Money. What do we live for? The essence of a Jew. The essence of a Jew has him ignore circumstances. Just ignore. We know it's right, and that's it. We're not going to revisit our values because of the changing times. All right. So what is this Hora Hashav business anyway? Fine, so we stole it from Esav. And it's halacha. What is it? What is Hora Hashav? A Hora Hashav is something that comes through prophecy. We know in halacha there are rules. Eis lasos l'ashem heferu sarasecha. There are times that you have to go and change the halacha temporarily for the sake of preserving Torah. Eis lasos, there are those who live by eis lasos. Everything's an eis lasos. Torah, for the sake of preserving Torah, we will have to go and twist and turn and pervert every value in the name of Torah, because we gotta go and fit in. That's Esav. That ain't us. So what is this place? When they wrote down Torah Shebal Peh, when they set up the Mishnayos as the standard text for Torah Shebal Peh, Eis Lasos L'Hashem, that was wrong. There wasn't supposed to be a standard text. It was Eis Lasos L'Hashem. It had to be done. And it's halacha. These are the kinds of things we got from Esav. It goes against the Jewish personality. But when does halacha say you do it? What's its place? This is a tough one. The answer is simple. The problem is applying it. It says so. Heferu sarasecha. When the Torah is being destroyed. Not because you're afraid you're not going to make a living. Not because you're afraid you'll be unpopular. Not because you'll be embarrassed. But if it's a matter of saving the Torah. The problem is deciding what that involves. You know, every time we do things, we find a way of justifying it. And if we are B'nai Torah, the way we justify everything is that it's the Shem Shamayim. You can always find some kind of chazal, some halacha, that will back you up whatever you're doing. This is, I mean, probably the most common weapon of an abusive husband, if he calls himself Orthodox, is that he's got a Shulchan Aruch to back up every demand he's got. He will tell his wife what all the responsibilities of a woman are to her husband. He will always find some kind of chazal. And she'll even believe him because he's got a Shulchan Aruch there, whether she can read or not. There are plenty of Orthodox people that are absolute animals and do it all the Shem Shamayim for the sake of preserving Torah. And you'll ask them, but you're breaking some other halacha, but it's... I'm preserving Torah, it's the Shem Shamayim. I think the encounter with Esav gave us the litmus test. The story here, the Nevuah, makes it very clear. If that is you, if it comes easy, if it's natural, if it becomes your personality, it's wrong. It's off. The only way that an Eis Lasos L'Hashem Heferu Sarasecha can be applied is if it's alien to you. If it goes against you. If you recognize that even when it's Eliyahu HaNavi doing it, Hashem will call it the act that is more suited for a goy. Where it just doesn't feel right. And you certainly don't want to have to experience it again. Your very essence fights it. Then you're all right. Then you're all right. If you're constantly twisting and turning things because Heferu Sarasecha, sorry. You've lost the Yaakov Avinu in you. You've lost that sense of we live for Emes. You're blowing in the wind. We walk around with this attitude. We cannot be unaffected by what goes on around us. We are part of the world and we understand that that can easily go and change the face of Torah. We have to know what's going on. We have to. And there are times that we have to do things out of the ordinary. But that's not our natural state, and it cannot become our natural state. Our natural state is Esav is a kelev over. Our natural state is, what do you mean, Koamar Avdecha Yaakov? Who cares if he's got an army that's coming to attack? Yaakov is Esav's servant? Have a gvir liachecha. He's told you are the master. Yaakov is no servant to Esav. But there are times you got to do it. But it's got to go against you. And we're told, Chazal do tell us, Yaakov Avinu was angry over this whole episode. Yaakov Avinu was angry over having to do all this. There are different kinds of circumstances, and you've got to learn to deal with them. And there are times that halacha tells you that you have to bend a little here and there. But if it becomes habit forming, and if it becomes you, and worst of all, if you can feel comfortable doing it, you're turning yourself into an Esav. And even if it's L'shem Shamayim, it's not Jewish. It can be as important to you as Eliyahu HaNavi and Har HaKarmel. It can't be natural. I'm saying this especially, first of all, in the company of people who understand the importance of reaching out to our brethren who just don't have a clue as to what Judaism is all about. And we ourselves often feel terribly uncomfortable and embarrassed doing anything Jewish in their presence. We often blame it on, oh, it's Kiruv. But what's really going on is that we are embarrassed ourselves. We don't feel strong. And if that's where it's coming from, it ain't kosher. Then again, when you want to reach out to people, you do have to understand their mindset. And there are times that you have to say, Kol Amar Avdecha Yaakov. But if that's you, even if your motivation is correct, even if it's not embarrassment, but it comes easy and it's comfortable, and it's so pashut, yeah, then you know you're wrong. You know it's coming from the wrong place. You got to be strong. You've got to walk around knowing, I know truth, and I'm unaffected by what's around me. If there's anything that we do in answer to what goes on around us, is we strengthen ourselves in truth. How do we react to current events? How do we react to when we see Jews dying and being wounded? How do we react to that? We ignore that too? Yes and no. You feel like taking up arms? Machzik biyoznei kelev over. Don't start up with a stray dog. We know what we're here for. And that's not to take up arms. So what is the alternative? Strengthen your clarity. understand. Understand that they can have no effect over us when we're clear. Understand that when they're successful at harming Jews, it's because we're weak. We know. It's simple. You don't necessarily tell that to people that don't understand. Although you should once in a while. And you'd be surprised. People are capable of hearing a lot more than we think they are. Because deep down they know what's right. Yaakov Avinu doesn't budge. Truth is truth. We are unaffected by circumstances. And when halacha dictates that we have to be, it goes against us. And we feel so un-Jewish. And it got to remain that way. It's got to be alien. We are the Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, uncompromising when it comes to truth. We yearn, we strive to get the clarity of the values of people that lived in the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages. Yeah, they knew better. Our own. I'm talking about the people we look up to. We know they had clarity. And we know that regardless of what was going on around them, and although people were going nowhere, the name of the game was tyranny and might makes right, we know that they were unaffected. They were clear. Certainly we, in this day and age, have to maintain that kind of clarity. We find the world so confusing. The world has changed, and on a certain level, it's a better place. This is certainly not a time for us to forget our values. Clarity, emes, truth. That's the Jew. That's the Jew. Throughout all of Gullus, that's what kept us going. Both sides of the Vayishlach. Both sides. Knowing that there were times we had to do things. And at the same time, never losing that Jewish personality that doesn't budge.